I don't know how I did that, but sorry about that. I think it's on. Wow. Maybe I better move it down now. Now maybe you'll. Okay. Sorry about that. No, that's all right. I must have hit that mute switch when I went in. Or maybe it was my wife when I wasn't looking. She muted me. Ooh. I thought I started out so good, didn't I? Well, as I was saying, one of my favorite things about Easter, really about any holiday, is the songs that we hear. So I want to repeat this song. It's by the Gaithers. It's entitled Then Came the Morning, and maybe it's familiar to a lot of you. They all walked away with nothing to say. They just lost their dearest friend. All that he said, now he was dead. So this was the way it would end. The dreams they had dreamed were not what they seemed, now that he was dead and gone. The garden, the jail, the hammer, the nail. How could a night be so long? Then came the morning. Night turned into day, the stone was rolled away, hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning, shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. The angel, the star, the kings from afar, the wedding, the water, the wine. Now it was done, they'd taken her son, wasted before his time. She knew it was true, she'd watched him die too. She'd heard them call him just a man. But deep in her heart, she knew from the start, somehow her son would live again. Then came the morning. Night turned into day. The stone was rolled away. Hope rose with the dawn. Then came the morning. Shadows vanished before the sun. Death had lost and life had won, for morning had come. Well, today we do celebrate Easter, and we celebrate with singing and praising the Lord, what he has done for us, and that he's victory over death. Easter really is the most important and oldest festival of the Christian church because it really began back then. So it's the oldest and it's the most important festival as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is held between March 21st and April 25th on the first Sunday after the first full moon following the northern spring equinox. Okay, so that's how you know when they figure it, when it is. And if you were outside last night, I didn't even look at the calendar, but either Friday or yesterday was full moon. Beautiful. So this is the first Sunday after full moon, so therefore this is Easter. So if I would ask you what your favorite part of Easter is, I'm sure I would get lots of different answers. Or if I would go into Lancaster or Baltimore, New York City, or wherever I walk the streets of any town, and I would ask the people what Easter means to them, I'm sure I would get various responses. So what is people's perception? What is the world's perception of Easter? And what do they know? Do they acknowledge the reality that Jesus is indeed risen and he is alive? Do they acknowledge that? For Christians, Easter is what it's all about. It's what it's all about. The account of the empty tomb is what it's all about, but it's much more than that. It's the morning that we celebrate hope. It's the one event that we, as Mike said earlier, we base our faith on. It's what it's where it starts. And if we don't believe in that, what else do we believe? So this morning, I want to look at Easter maybe from a couple different perspectives, and I think, Glenn, you were talking about that too. Before I get too far, I didn't even read the verses that I'm going to be speaking on. If you have your Bibles, look to John chapter 20. In my Bible, it's simply subtitled The Empty Tomb. John 20, I'm going to be reading the first nine verses. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. So we have these two different perspectives from Peter and the apostle whom Jesus loved, of course, was John, who wrote the Epistle of John. One other gentleman who had his perspective changed dramatically was Paul. And we read in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5, Paul says this, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. So Easter morning is Christ's victory over death. Our Savior is alive. He is alive, and he's seated at the right hand interceding for us. Peter at Pentecost also talked about the risen Lord in Acts 2, 32 and 33. Peter says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and what you now hear. And today we continue to see and hear that same power. The power of God, the power of the risen Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. The news that Jesus had risen changed everything and changes everything. Not only changed it then, but it changes it now. The resurrection moved Mary Magdalene from tears to joy. It moved the disciples from feelings of fear to living a courageous life for their Lord. And for Thomas, it meant moving from doubt to having full assurance that Jesus had risen when he saw his wounds. So the disciples' perception of Christ and his kingdom changed because of the reality of the truth of the resurrection. The truth of the resurrection. It changed everything, changes everything for you and I. So John here in his writing brings kind of a different insight. It's a personal insight. Peter and John had courage to run to the tomb. And as we were talking this morning, you know, they really didn't know what they were running into. They could have been running into a trap maybe by the enemy. They didn't know. But John got there first. I don't know if John was younger or if he was just faster. Probably if Mike and I were racing to the tomb, Mike would be there first and I'd come there last. But John didn't go in. He looked and saw the empty tomb. I don't know if he was afraid or maybe just his personality. I think I'd be a little more like John. I'd have to go see, but I probably wouldn't have the boldness and the courage to go in right away. That's just not how I'm wired. Someone else would probably come and go right in. Or maybe he was just waiting for Peter and just kind of standing there in disbelief and shock that the tomb was really empty. Well, we know Peter, impulsively, he went right in. He went right in. Interestingly enough, as we were looking at Luke 24, 2 and 3 this morning, Peter was not the first one to be in the tomb. the women were there first. In Luke 24, as we read this morning, 2 and 3, it says, they found, meaning the women bringing the spices, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, it says they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord. So what did Peter and John see? Well, as I studied these verses and read some commentary about it, one of the commentators pointed out three different verses there and that were using the word saw. What did they see? And we see them in verse 5. It says, he bent over and looked in, meaning John, I think there. He looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Yes, John looked in, or I think the King James Version would say he bent over and saw. He saw the linen lying there. Then in verse 6, it says, Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there. And then if we jump down to verse 8, it says, finally, the other disciple, meaning John, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Well, as you know, in the Greek or the original translation, these three words he saw each mean a different thing. Each mean a different thing. It looks like the same to us, but in the Greek it would have been meant something different. In verse 5, as John looked in, the Greek word there means to take a glance at something. To take a glance at something. So John got there first and he took a glance at what he saw, an empty tomb. Refers to a brief fleeting glimpse. This is what John did when he got there. He took a quick glance in the tomb and saw that Jesus was gone, but that the grave clothes were still there. So he took a quick glance. Then in verse 6, as we read, Peter saw. This meaning of the word saw means to scrutinize or to look carefully, to observe. The word seeth, as probably the King James would say, means to scrutinize. So it carries the idea with looking around with a keen eye to catch all the facts, kind of like an investigator would do. So this is what Peter did. He went in and he scrutinized. He saw the grave clothes and the napkins lying by themselves. And I can envision Peter rushing in and seeing that, and John still waiting outside, and Peter looking to John and saying, John, you got to come in here and see this. You got to come in here and see this. Take a closer look at what is in here. And then in verse 8, John saw. What John saw, this meaning of the word saw means to perceive with intelligent comprehension. It's a big definition of the word saw. But he perceived with intelligent comprehension, or to look with understanding. So simply the word saw here means to look with understanding. The dots started to connect. The pieces started to come together. It carries the idea of grasping than what we see. So when John took the time to take a closer look, he saw the truth of the grave clothes and understood that Jesus was alive. So we have three different versions of the word saw. First, to take a quick glance. Secondly, to investigate. And thirdly, to understand. And yet, we read in verse 9 of chapter 20, they did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. They still hadn't fully grasped what they saw. Peter and John still didn't fully understand the Old Testament fulfillment and the prophecies that they had indeed come true. And again, we kind of talked about it this morning. Why didn't they get it? Why didn't they understand that? Why didn't they come there expecting to see Jesus, not expecting to see Jesus? Because he did clearly announce it. He did clearly announce it. In Matthew 16:21, Jesus said from the time, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised again, raised to life. And then on his triumphal entry, he said, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. So on Thursday of that week, last week of his ministry, he said that he would meet them in Galilee after he was raised, and the Holy Spirit, he would bring on the Holy Spirit. So why didn't they expect to see a risen Lord? Why didn't they see it? So maybe their perception, their own perception, and again, we talked about that this morning, our own perception kind of maybe gets in the way of a reality, of the truth. And we get too comfortable with what the world thinks of Easter, and we need to realize and know the truth. As I said, Thursday night, the disciples' world had been turned upside down. We know that Peter himself even denied Christ 3 times, that he even knew him. Their perception of Christ as king and his earthly kingdom were completely crushed. Maybe that's part of the answer, why they didn't expect to see, because in their mind, everything was crushed. Fear had gripped their hearts, and confusion had paralyzed their minds. It's not at all what they had pictured. And again, what we talked about this morning, the disciples had heard it, but Jesus' enemies also heard it. And in Matthew 27, I think we actually read this, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember that while he was still alive, this deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first." Well, it didn't matter how secure they made it. Jesus did indeed rise from the dead. On the third day, the stone was rolled away, the tomb was empty, and the grave clothes remained. The evidence was clear. Jesus' body was not taken. He had been risen from the dead. Part of this story talks about the napkin that had been folded by him, that had wrapped around his head. It was not simply thrown to the side. There is I don't know if it's a story or it's the part of the Jewish custom that the owner of a household, while he is eating, as the servant awaits to clear the table, the owner of the house, if he leaves the table and is going to come back, he will fold the napkin neatly and lay it at the table. And the servant knows not to come clear the table because the owner of the house is coming back. So the thought is that Jesus folded his napkin that wrapped around his head because he was coming back. His time had come, and he is going to come back again. Well, it was sometime after the resurrection that the disciples did then start to comprehend the excitement of the day. And when Jesus appeared to his disciples, he said to them, "This is what I told you, and while I was still with you, everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Just like the people on the road to Emmaus, it says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in the name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." So during Jesus' ministry, the Jews demanded signs to verify who he was, what authority he had. And remember, Jesus told them, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And they replied, well, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and how are you going to raise it in 3 days? But the temple he had spoken of was his body. And after he was raised from the dead, the disciples recalled what he had said, and then they believed the scriptures and the words that Jesus had spoken. He indeed had risen from the dead. Well, we have a perception from Paul in his writings. We have this personal account from Peter and John, and we also have their perception or their accounts from their writings as well. And they continue to give us inspiration today, don't they? Peter saw firsthand the power of God, and they write for us to inspire us and to encourage us. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:18 to 21, for you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake, for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Your faith and hope are in God. Peter made it very clear that it is that word of God, not our personal experiences, that give us our basis for our faith. John wrote in 1 John 2:12 and 14, I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. On account of his name. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Just sung about overcoming, overcoming. So one commentator wrote this about 1 John 12:14, that we begin as little children, but we cannot stay that way. Only as Christians grow, we grow spiritually, and we become stronger, and we are able then to overcome. He comforts us by the power of his Spirit. He enables us. And we live and we praise and we accept the reality of the risen Savior. So John 20:1-9 gives us three steps in seeing the empty tomb. A quick glance, further investigation, or understanding. So let's not let the world's perception of Easter allow us to have our minds confused of what Easter really means and the reality of the power of God. John certainly believed in the Christ before he entered the tomb, but a closer look provided the truth of the risen Christ and a deeper understanding. As John entered the tomb, we too need to enter into God's word and to study it, to meditate on God's word, and continue to mature as his children. And as we do that, we become stronger and are able to overcome. Our faith and our hope are in God, and our faith stands upon the word of God. The evidence is clear. The stone was rolled away. We are not to be afraid, as the angel said, he is not here. He has risen. We don't have an empty tomb that we can go and look into. We don't have grave clothes to inspect. But we do have this true record, many true records for us, that Christ is risen. We sing hallelujah, the Lamb has overcome. Forever he is glorified, forever he is lifted high. May we continue to look to Jesus with more than just a glance. May we look to Easter with more than a glance. May we investigate and understand the true meaning of this day. and continue to seek him and find understanding. Our shadows have been vanished before the sun. Death had lost, life had won, for morning had come. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this day that means everything to us. And Father, if we didn't believe in this day, what could we believe? So Father, we put our faith and we put our trust in you, a living God. And Father, as we face those dark times in our life, Father, know that you are there to comfort us, not to make us comfortable, but to empower us through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, today the world is known as April Fool's Day, but Father, this is no April Fool's joke. And as we read, Father, in your word, that the power of the cross is foolishness to those who perish, but to us, to those who believe and put faith and our trust in Jesus Christ, it is a power. It is a power of God's word. So, Father, thank you for the victory over death that we celebrate today. And, Father, for all that you have done in our lives and continue to do and will do. And, Father, may we hold on to this day, not only just this one day, but throughout our lives, that each day we celebrate a risen Lord. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.